We've asked some of our men this summer to share some of the Wednesdays and Sunday evenings, sharing messages with us. It's always good to hear from different individuals in our church, and I'm so thankful that we have men that we can call upon to deliver God's Word. And so I'm going to ask Chris Whitney. This is not random. He knew ahead of time. I'm not just calling people. Now, some of you are getting nervous. But anyway, Chris, come share what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Yeah, Pastor asked me a couple hours ago. No, not really. Okay. The title of my message is, Who Am I? Who am I? And there's an individual in the Bible that asks the Lord, Who am I? And as a little trivia, I'd like to see if y'all know it. So where in the Bible and who is it that said to the Lord, Who am I? When Pastor asked me to preach, he said, Brother, the church needs a break from Pastor Watts preaching. Can you please fill in for us? So I said, okay, I'll try and go ahead. So go ahead and take your sunglasses off and relax, and we'll get through this, okay? All right, anybody know who I'm talking about? Who am I? Who am I? Who said the Lord? Who am I? Yes. Gideon? No. No, that's not who I had in mind anyway. Okay, let's turn. Moses, that's right. Mr. Moses. Okay. And where in the Bible do we see Mr. Moses? In Exodus chapter 3. Okay, so today we'll turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. And we will look at this passage of Scripture. Let me get my spectacles out. You can tell we're getting older. We need glasses. All right. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flocks of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midians. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to a mountain of God, even unto Horeb. Okay, what a good son-in-law. He's working for his father-in-law. I think every son-in-law ought to go ahead and work for the father-in-law, shouldn't he? All right, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the burning bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I surely have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of the taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of a land unto a good land, a large, a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, Hivites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name, and what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us. We just pray that you'd put your power upon your word today. Lord, you know that I'm not a speaker, but we'd also know that you can put power upon your word to do over and above what we could ask or think. We just pray that you'd bring forth your word with power now. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Okay. You know, I got to get one of these little drinks. Is this one here mine? On the left? I always get envious, you know, the pastor gets up here and they drink in front of everybody. And you're always real thirsty. He's like, man, I really like to have some of that water right now. And the pastor's over here, I'm drinking it now. So anyway, okay, let's get to the passage here. Moses was keeping the flocks. Okay, he's busy about his work. He's doing what the Lord has him to do. And he's being faithful, working for his father-in-law. I think every good son-in-law, like I said before, ought to work for their father-in-law. It'd be a good time, you know? Kind of like Laban and all that good stuff. Every father-in-law ought to profit off their son-in-law, right? You know, you got to get a little bit of something there. Anyway, so here we see Moses keeping the flocks. Let's set the tone. Let's set the scene of what's going on. If you remember, Moses was a Hebrew, and he was supposed to be killed. His mother didn't kill him, and she made the little boat, put him in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter found him. And the Lord preserved his life. And then we see later on where he sees one of the children of Israel getting worked over, and he goes over there and kills the gentleman, hides his body in the sand. So as a result, he thinks, you know, he looks this way and that way and doesn't see that anybody saw anything. He thinks he got away with it. Well, the next day, he's breaking up a fight amongst two people, and they say, what are you going to do, kill us like you did the Israelite? And Moses was like, I thought I got away with this and nobody knew. Now I better hightail it out of here. And he runs on out of there. And Pharaoh is planning to kill him, so to speak, and threatens his life. So Moses is ran away in fear, and is now working for his father-in-law. So that's the scene that we see here. And let's see what happens in verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire, okay? Now, Moses wasn't sitting under a juniper tree crying. He was working. He was being productive. He was doing what he felt the Lord probably would have him to do at that time. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire and was not consumed. Now, this reminds me of our wonderful trips with my father-in-law out west, where we had a little generator and put it out in the woods to keep it a little bit quieter. And about an hour later, we all hear this crackling sound, this big noise, and Brent's hollering, quick, quick, get water, get water. And we're at the Grand Teton National Forest. And the next thing I come out, and the flames are, halfway up the tree. And within about 2 minutes, it's 30 feet above the whole forest line. And I'm like, we just burned down the National Forest, Grand Tetons, you know. You know what goes through your mind. Well, it was one random pine tree with a couple little ones. And if you know anything about pines, which I didn't know this was the case, I just figured the whole forest was just going to keep on going, you know. But it just went up like a chimney, just, and then it just started crackling and just died out and stopped. I suppose if there was like gale force winds or something, or it was really dry in there, and it was able to spread across the ground, it would set more trees on fire. But they said, yeah, that's usually with green trees, that's usually what happens. It burns off all the green leaves, the pine needles, and then it just fizzles out when it hits the green wood. So we were like, oh my. Of course, the ranger had to write Brent a little ticket for putting the generator in there, but it was a flame of fire and it burned up, didn't it? But this was not the case here in Moses' life. He looked and he saw that the bush was there, it was burning, and it was not consumed. The fire didn't go out. And he's like, I got to turn around. I got to see this. Let's look here in verse 3. And Moses said, now I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. The Lord got Moses' attention. He stopped him in his tracks. And what was Moses' response? Moses' response was to stop and turn aside and see this great sight. Verse 4. And God saw that he had turned aside, and God called unto him to the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. What is Moses' response? And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face from the Lord, for he was afraid to look upon him. Can you just imagine standing in front of this burning bush and it's not being consumed, and then all of a sudden God speaks from heaven and says, Moses, Moses, out of the burning bush? And can you imagine the fear that would come across you when that happened? And Moses responded in humility, and he knew that he needed to shield his eyes from the face of the Lord. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I surely have seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You know, whatever you and I are going through, the Lord already knows. He knew what was going to happen beforehand, and he already knows what you're going through now. He said, I already know. I've already seen the affliction, and I've come down, verse 8, to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of a land, unto a good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, Hivites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Now you stop right there and you think, how in the world are we going to conquer this type of vast country with all these strong people in here? Now let's look at verse 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians have oppressed them. Okay? So the Lord has called Moses to go, and he's called him to go unto the children of Pharaoh and to deliver his people. Let's see what the Lord says unto Moses in verse 10. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Can you just imagine the fear that kind of come over Moses as he said, okay, I want you to go to Pharaoh. You know, it's like when Pastor Todd comes and asks me to preach. I'm just like, okay, I'll do this. But you get nervous, don't you? And you're like, okay, well, I'm not qualified to do this, but the Lord is going to be with me. So I can just understand that Moses is feeling when the Lord said, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Because he said, wait a minute, Lord, don't you forget now that Pharaoh wants to kill me. He is after me. I cannot do this. That thou mayest bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt, in verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I? Now you see the humility that Moses has. You know, the children of Israel were probably 2 to 3 million people. Can you just imagine that feat of leading 2 or 3 million people out of Egypt through, you know, wherever and whatever they went through? And how are you going to defeat Pharaoh and all of his chariots? And how are you going to get through there and then defeat the Amorites and the Perizzites and all the others? This is not able to be done here, Lord. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt, 2 to 3 million people? And this is a key verse right here that I want to carry on and stress. And he said, certainly. And you can just stop right there. Certainly, that's of a truth. Certainly, you can bank on it. It is fact. Certainly, I will be with thee. You know, whether it is Pastor Todd coming to you and saying, okay, I want you to preach in chapel, or I want you to preach up here in church, and or whether it be it's time for you to leave high school and go to college, and you don't know whether or not you can, what you should major in, or how hard the classes are going to be, or what kind of money that you're going to have to pay your bills. What does the Bible say right here? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee, just as the Lord is with me right now to bring forth his word when I have not the ability to do so. And he says here, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth my people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God on this mountain. So keep that with you today, that no matter what it is God has for you, certainly he will be with you, and he will give you the strength. He will give you the ability to do exactly what he wants you to do. Now, does that mean that you're automatically going to be successful in what he calls you to do? God may have you go someplace and totally fail, but you know what? That might be failure in the world's eyes, and you may think that you failed, but he may be preparing you through that failure to do something great. I think of that silly movie that I watched with my kids, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I like to pick up little phrases from there. But it says, a little song in there, it says, up from the ashes of disaster grow the roses of success. So just because you may fail at something does not mean that God is preparing you for something that's coming down the road. I think of the book of the that you preached on there where the individual preached for his whole life and never had one convert. Who was that? Okay. I think it was somebody in the Bible, that some book of the Bible that you sent that we had. Anyway. But anyway, you know, does that mean that he was a failure? Does that mean that he wasn't an effective preacher? You know, the Lord may have these people harden their hearts, and there may not be one convert. But that doesn't mean that God didn't want that individual to go there. So let's look here at verse number 12 again, the main part that I want to bring out. And he said unto him, certainly I will be with you. And verse 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your father has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? And what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. So Moses, even though he said, who am I that I should go forth unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel, he then, after God told him in verse 12, certainly I will be with you, Moses' response was, okay, Lord, well, who am I going to tell the children of Israel that has sent me? And it's I am. So, like I said earlier, no matter what the challenge is or what's going on in our lives, whether we're facing old age, whether we're facing sickness, college, a new job, a new career, expanding your business, or whatever it is God has called you to do, certainly He will be with you and will perform through you whatever He has for you. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your love tonight. We thank you for the opportunity that I had to bring forth your word. We just pray that you would use your word with power. And we just pray that you would encourage us to serve you no matter what you would have for us. And we know that certainly you will be with us. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.